You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
Tonight on Marvel TV Weekly, we have not one, not two, not three, not four, but five episodes of TV to cover. We're covering three episodes of Jessica Jones, one episode of Legion, the season finale. Season premiere, not finale. Geez, we're not there yet. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., plus the end credit scene for Avengers Endgame. What did you guys think? All of that coming up. Marvel TV Weekly starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome to Marvel TV Weekly. Christian could not be with us today. However, we do have our good friend. I know, forget him. We don't need him. It's cool. We got this. We do have our friend, I was going to say Christian Blatt. You messed me up. Zach Wilson here with me joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me back again.
Thank you for coming back again.
I will keep coming back until we finish Jessica Jones.
We have so much TV to talk about today. We have literally three episodes of Jessica Jones up to the finale. And then we also have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know that's one of your favorites, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And we have the, not finale, the premiere of Legion, which I thought it was a really great episode. We're going to dive into that. But I think we should start off with some Jessica Jones, just to kind of end it, because this is it.
Yeah.
This is the last of the Marvel Netflix shows. Guys.
And it was a fitting end.
It was.
To that point.
It was. I thought it was really good. Before we dive into like specifics on the episode, just what did you think overall of the last three? That's 11, 12,
three.
And 13.
Well, they all blend together because I watched these in a big chunk.
I know, I did too.
But I liked them. I liked the way that this season wrapped up. I think that the way that they ended Trish's arc. Trish has probably the best arc from start to finish of any character on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just her, it's so easy to track when you go from where she started in season one, what she dealt with in season two, and then came to a finish with in season three. It all tracks. It all has the proper build. You don't always get that, especially with side characters.
Yeah, I agree. I like the way that they were kind of building to Hellcat since, I think, season one.
Well, don't introduce Patsy Walker and not be building to Hellcat.
And thank God they did it, and I really like the way that they did that also. I loved the Trish that we got in season three. She was such a tortured soul, and honestly, I didn't see her going off the rails quite that much. Just for going from what she was trying to do to, I mean, spoilers, guys, but we're talking about all of it, killing Salinger. She stomped his head.
Spoiler alert.
Stomped his head in.
You're a little late with that alert there, Ryan. Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys. no, but I mean, if you're not here to watch about spoilers, I don't know why you're here.
It's spoilers for anything we're talking about.
Yes, today. Everything is spoilers. But yeah, I mean, she literally stomped his head in. And I was kind of surprised, but not also not really. Like, that's kind of where she has been going. And I think losing her mom was sort of the last straw. And that actually, episode 11, we jump into a lot of their relationship between Trish and Dorothy.
Yeah.
Whew, that was rough to watch, especially because, look, and I get it, just because your parents are not necessarily the greatest parents doesn't mean you don't love them and doesn't mean it isn't easy to lose them, or that it's easy to lose them, rather. It's just, she put so much unfair pressure on Trish growing up.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful to see.
To tell your child that our livelihood depends on you.
Like, no. You're the parent. That's your job.
Yeah. Oh, and just the whole stuff with, like, you have to do this for the director. You have to, like, worm your way. You have to be a Hollywood schmuck.
Yeah. Basically. Like, undermining people, undermining other actors. And you know she didn't want to do it at first.
Yeah.
Like, you really feel bad for her. And you get Haywood Wong, sorry. Wait, Zia, where's the Hellcat cosplay? I had a really hard time finding one.
What?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I sent you. It's so easy to find.
I know. Well, I mean, they don't look the best. I could have gotten like a really cheap, crappy version of it. Anyway, it's really sad sort of to see. And it was kind of sad to see how messed up she was over losing her mom. Because they didn't have the best relationship. But I don't know. Whatever. I liked Eric a lot in this episode, how he kept saying how everything was so dicked up. I don't know why, but that was like one of my favorite things, was Eric being like, oh, this is just so dicked up.
I mean, I guess he's like, maybe when you have censors towards like everybody who feels guilty about things, maybe swearing is somehow not okay.
Maybe, but it's like, doesn't Jessica say the S-H-I-T word? Isn't she just like, I give it what anyone says about me. Like, isn't that in there? Whatever. But that was just really funny.
Oh, Christian's in the chat?
Christian's in the chat. Cold open. Nailed it. Christian, I was so close to nailing it. So close.
So there's a debate going on in the chat that I feel like is worth bringing up as we were talking about Trish.
Yes.
Because they're debating whether or not Trish is a villain versus an anti-hero. And Julia, what do you think?
Oh God, that's a really good question. I'm leaning more towards anti-hero just because I think her intentions were really thought, hey, I can handle the burden of literally murdering people, but she really thought it was bad people, and it was based on, a lot of it was based on what Eric said about how he felt like the balance was restored and the world was better and he felt lighter. So I think she really thought she was making the world a better place. And honestly, if the Punisher is an anti-hero, then Trish kind of has to be an anti-hero too.
You stole my point.
Sorry. It's, but like, come on.
No, but that very much the same thing. Like, if you watch these Netflix shows, most of the quote unquote hero characters are anti-heroes, and most of the villains are heroes of their own story. A good villain is always the hero of their own story. Mm-hmm. That's like that's just good villain writing 101.
I mean, even just Thanos, for example.
Yeah. Oh, that's why, because Thanos is the best villain, because you, like, whether his solution is twisted or not, you can endlessly debate, but his motive is ultimately good, and that's what makes him you almost want to side with him.
I know,
and that's what makes him a fascinating villain. And like, Netflix has had more clear villains, like the Purple Man,
very clearly
is
a villain.
Like, Kilgrave is
evil,
clearly the villain. There's moments where you sort of see why he is the way he is, and you understand and can sort of sympathize with what happened to him, but he's still evil to the core.
Too much evil,
But in a good, they did enough to justify him as a human being.
Right.
But then you have, like, Trish's mom. You see how she became the way she was. She's still a bad guy, but she was always just trying to protect herself and what was hers. She maybe went a little too far, which is the thing with Trish.
Right. Like,
that's why Trish never pushed that line into villain. Maybe you could argue she's the antagonist.
You could say that.
Towards the end of the season.
I can see that.
Because she is going up against our, like, quote-unquote hero, Jessica.
I like that fight, by the way.
So good.
So great.
I just love the, like, crazy, like, flipping around tactics that Trish has, whereas Jessica's powers and fighting, she's just like, get down!
Smash! She, like, literally throws her across the room. Doesn't she throw her through, like, a bunch of wooden boxes, or at least a wooden box? I did like that a lot. And it was just nice to see their two completely different styles, but honestly, Trish did not stand a chance.
Okay.
This is, sorry, Trish. Go ahead.
But yeah, Christian joining us in the chat.
Hey, Christian.
A villain that thinks they're in the right. Trish legitimately is well-intentioned. He'd call Patsy an anti-hero.
I agree.
And that's fair. That's fair enough to a point. An anti-hero also thinks they're in the right. Everybody thinks they're in the right.
Yeah.
It's just, depending on the villain. Some villains are just like... Some villains just want to see the world burn. Oh, no, I crossed the streams.
Very nice. That's okay.
No one needs
to know. Everyone knows.
No, I think Trish was a great foil towards the end of the season. And I love the, like, that they... I'm It's interesting that they bring the raft in and that they've sent a lot of people to the raft, whether they need to or not.
Yeah. I mean...
The raft wasn't that big. I guess it probably has multiple levels.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't build a giant mega prison in the middle of the ocean and not have, like, more than, like, a dozen cells.
There has to
be. In Civil War, there were maybe a dozen that we could see.
Yeah, I think so.
But there's probably, like, another level down.
No, there has to be. And that's, like, the lower down you go, the worse the villains get. That is kind of crazy, though, right, that she got sent there? I mean, she was killing, like, killers. Like, legitimate killers.
But here's the thing, and this was an interesting thing that they dropped at one point, that the once you're an enhanced individual, the United States government, or, like, the cops, basically, no longer have jurisdiction.
That makes sense.
She basically, as soon as she entered the fray using powers, she... violated the Sokovia Accords. They never dropped that name, but that's what they're essentially saying.
That makes sense.
Trish violated the Sokovia Accords and thus fell under the jurisdiction of the UN, and they don't put power people in general prisons. They go to the raft.
Which also makes sense, because why would you put a powered person in frickin' Gen Pop? That'd be crazy.
Well, that's the thing. It's about sort of, I think it's a safety for the other prisoners and for the person, and a liability thing of you can't put somebody who is that crazy level stronger into a normal prison. One, because they might break out.
And kill a bunch
of
people.
And two, because they might just, like, hurt people.
Yeah. And Trish would do that.
I think in this case, it's a breakout concern. It's that Trish has shown that she has the skills to break in and out of places better than other people. And the idea that she probably could break out of prison if she wanted to.
And she could probably kill some people that she deems bad enough in there while she's in there. She's like, no, I'm doing good things. I'm doing good things.
Do you think Trish has completely lost it? Or is she, now that she's been, like... Now she took out Salinger and, like, has been arrested and has, like, dealt with it, like, has seen the consequences of it. Is she sort of leveled off?
I think she had that moment. See, and I go back and forth with this because the end, and I actually wanted to ask you about that also. I think she had that moment when she realized, when she said, oh, I'm the bad guy, that she realized that she, what she was doing was not the right thing. And she kind of accepted the fact that she needed to be in jail. That... At the end, though, when she looks like she nods at Jessica, like, hey, when Jessica's watching her before she gets transported. And then there's that moment at the end where she's just kind of staring at her as she flies away. And I couldn't tell at first if she's like, thank you, or like, I forgive you, or like, whatever it is. Like, they had sort of an understanding look there. But then at the end, it kind of looked like she wanted to kill her. And I didn't know if that was the shadows on her face. What do you think? Because we had like two moments there.
Sorry, say that again. I was trying to track all of that and also read the...
No worries. That's always really hard. So there was that moment at the end where Jessica goes to watch Trish get transported.
Yes. Yeah.
Trish looks at her and she kind of nods at her. And they have that moment. And then there's the other moment where she gets into the helicopter and she's just staring at Jessica. And she kind of looks like she wants to kill her, But I don't know if that's just because there's so much shadow on her face.
Oh, no, I didn't read that as that. I read it as like a goodbye.
As a goodbye. Okay. That's what I thought. So, yeah, I'm kind of thinking more along the lines that she has sort of realized the mistakes that she's made.
Yeah. It's like whether she realizes that. I think Trish is fine with her mistakes. I think she's like, I don't think she thinks of them as mistakes.
She thinks that she still did the right thing.
I think she's like, look, this is what I had to do. But I did. But I got it right.
Well, because she says that, as she says, that she can live with that burden.
Yeah.
And so she's making the world a better place.
She's willing to go to hell for what she had to do.
I mean, she's...
And we can only hope that maybe she'll go to hell and then meet up with Hellstrom and, like, maybe start dating.
I'd be into that. I'm ready for that. Also, I don't know if this has ever happened in any of the comics, none that I've ever read. What if we had, like, Hellcat and Punisher working together for, like, a season of something? That would be fun.
I don't know. They might get along.
They might
get along. You know, speaking of crossovers, we got to talk about that cameo in the finale.
Oh, my God, yes!
So...
Best cameo.
I knew there was, just because of the internet.
Yes.
I knew there was somebody coming in the finale. Like, there was, like, basically, like, headlines, which was like, screw you. That's a, like, just saying that's a... Like, what did you think of this cameo in Jessica Jones? And it's like, you just told me there's a cameo.
And who do you think it's going to be? It's only going to be
one of, like, two people. The only people it could have been is Luke or Matt Murdock. Like, because I could have seen Matt showing up in a legal capacity.
Yeah, but Luke does make more sense because they have an actual, like, romantic history and like, a personal history.
Oh, and that's what made this... I loved this scene.
So good.
I thought it was perfect for a number of reasons. And bringing Luke in for the last season of Jessica Jones just is so on point, because he was such a huge star, like, part of her beginnings of the show. Like, that's part of why I love season one so much, because you not only got Jessica Jones and versus the Pearl Man, you also had Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, which is still, I know Luke and Claire have a great dynamic. Everybody has a great dynamic with Claire. There's a reason she keeps coming back on all their shows. Like,
that's true.
How could you not have great chemistry with...
with Rosario Dawson?
Yeah, with Rosario Dawson.
It's true. She's amazing and everything.
It's the same thing with Scarlett Johansson, and why anytime she's on screen with another male, like, character, people are like, oh, they're definitely getting together. It's like, no, they just are... She just is so charismatic that whoever you put in a room with her, she will have chemistry with. It's the same thing goes for Rosario Dawson.
I agree.
Claire Temple. But... I still am a hardcore, partially it's influenced by the comics, I acknowledge that, but Jessica and Luke.
Well, yeah, because they get married and have a baby.
But even beyond, I just love their chemistry in season one.
No,
I thought
they
had
great.
A great dynamic. I thought the idea of the two power people, like, working together, like a soft spot for me.
Didn't they, like, break her bed? Yes. Just for that alone.
They broke the piping
Come
in her
on.
Apartment
because yes.
they slammed her into the wall and the pipe bent.
Can you imagine their house if they lived together? Just destroyed everywhere. They're like, man, we got to fix that again now.
You go get reinforced. You don't go with a 2x4. You go with a 4x4.
Yeah, exactly. Stardrew says, Atzia always wants someone to team up with the Punisher. Look, I love the Punisher, okay? God, Stardrew. I do.
But the scene was also just wonderful, because catching up with Luke, because we know we're never going to get it.
We're never going to. I know. And the way they ended it, are you freaking kidding me? That's a whole other thing to get into. Anyway.
Are you talking about Luke Cage or this scene?
Yeah, Luke Cage.
Oh, okay.
The way they ended Luke Cage, and then we're not going to get anything. But I like this little piece that we got from him, because it sort of showed where his moral compass still is.
Yeah.
And sort of what, I mean, he ultimately helped Jessica make the decision, because, you know, she was really struggling with what to do about Trish. It's her sister. She cared about her more than anything. And I really liked what Trish said, that no matter what, Trish cared about Jessica a lot. Through all of this. And I really liked what she said about Eric, saying, look, I hope so, because I don't want Jessica's lost so much. I don't want her to lose you, too. It was a little bit disheartening to see Jessica be like, I don't trust you. I'm like, really? Why? He's pretty much been, like, on the up and up with you ever since you guys have. He hasn't done anything to make you distrust him. And even, and this is just my opinion, regarding what he did with Trish, I don't think that he, like, he took more responsibility than I think he should have for that.
Hmm.
They were trying to help her Like, they were really doing it for Jessica. And Trish was not supposed to kill that guy. And I don't think Eric could have known that it would have got, like, it would go down that way.
Yeah, but it's still not... Even if he didn't intend for them to die, he's still enabling somebody to get, like, seriously assaulted.
Yeah.
And very much hurt. And maybe he didn't have as much knowledge as he could have to make the decision, but you have to see that Trish's kind of unstable.
You have to see that she's kind of unstable, but if you think about it, like, yeah, somebody getting seriously injured, but literally every hero that they go up against someone gets seriously injured.
But these
are all those butt whoopings.
But these aren't powered people, and these aren't people that are actively trying to hurt you.
True.
Yes, they are bad people, and they do hurt others. No, there's no question about that. They proved that.
You burned some kids alive.
Yeah, not a good human being. deserves a lot of bad things to happen to him. But to leash a powered person on them is going outside the law. It is being a vigilante to the extreme. And he's partially to blame. He is an accessory to those deaths.
But at the same time, that's also what Jessica does. She's a powered person being a superhero going up against people who aren't powered. So, like, in a way, she's doing the exact same thing. Like, I feel like she was unnecessarily harsh on him. For someone, especially from where he came to where he ended up, like, he was actively working very hard to become a better person. I don't know. I think she could have given him more of a chance. I like Burger Boy.
Eric's good. He was a good character.
He was a good character.
I was glad that we kind of ditched, I don't even remember his name, upstairs management guy from season two.
Oh, okay. I was like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Because I was like bored with him.
Who is he? Is someone that Jessica was sleeping with?
The guy that she hooked up with towards the end of season two.
I didn't see season two.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. God. I know. Well, now I can go back and watch it like when I want to watch it.
Well, then audience, you know who I'm talking about. I was bored with that character, and I was glad that they dropped him. I was really, because they'd sort of set them up to be a thing, and we saw his kid, but at the beginning of the season, not their kid, his kid.
Yeah, I don't see Jessica hooking up with someone who has a kid.
She did. That was.
But I mean, like, seriously.
That was where they were leading, and I'm glad they didn't go. My point is, I'm glad they didn't go that direction. But like, we did get to go back to Luke, back to season one, and like, it created, by putting it at the end of the season, it created a nice bookmark to like show. Well, there's Eric, there's Luke. Like, she's gone through all this stuff.
She has.
And before we move away from Luke entirely, I love that he came in this fancy suit because he's now King of Harlem, Luke.
I know, and his facial hair. Hello.
Oh, yeah, right? That big beard.
I was like, wow. Wow, Luke. Someone's looking real snazzy
Rock
and tough.
Rock that beard, man. Yeah.
I know. I thought you'd like that.
But Luke is still a strong person where he is. Like, yes, you could debate how he left things at the end of season two, where he's sort of taken on a bigger role than he wanted to, and he's had to cross into some gray areas. But this is evidence that it's still Luke Cage.
Yeah,
he's still there.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's just part of what I'm going to miss about these Netflix shows is these little crossovers, these little moments. Oh. The moment, and this is like one of the irony. The moment where Danny Rand showed up in Luke Cage season two was the best version of Danny Rand that they ever did on screen.
That's a lot of people would agree with you.
It was that scene, like Luke in this scene, Danny in that scene. Those are amazing moments.
I know, and I really wish that we could have gotten more. I mean, I just wanted to see some Power Man and Iron Fist. I really did. I know that Christian wanted to see that too. We talk about it all the time. Like, it would have just been really awesome to see some Heroes for Hire, have a place.
Give me that four-person team, Heroes for Hire, Colleen Wing, Luke Cage, Danny Rand, Misty Knight. You know you want it. Netflix and Disney, you can still do it. You can still work it out. Do what you're doing with Ghost Rider on Hulu, and like, it's still in canon, but you just sort of forget what happened. I don't know how you do it with Luke Cage and Iron Fist. They are in weird spots in their storylines.
There's a lot going
on
there.
But you just explain it in like 20 minutes, just erase it or something.
Or just like, hey, a bunch of stuff's happened since then, now we're here.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to skip over like 5 years.
That's
all right,
what
cool.
I mean. That's what I mean. I just want like, that they have the actors are all perfect.
I know.
The
Can you imagine this them recast now? I can't.
No, I can't. They won't be able to do it for years because it's too fresh in people's memories.
I know. It's really sad.
But I did. If this is going to be the end of this corner of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I am happy with how it ended.
It was a nice ending. I really think, like you said, I'm really glad that we got a little Luke cameo in there, so we got to see that. I liked the ending of the episode, the very last episode. Yeah. Go ahead.
What did you think about the
a little David Tennant voice coming in?
Oh my God. Favorite part. One of my favorite parts. Like, after Luke Cage, favorite part.
Jessica.
I know! And that's when she's like, no, I'm staying. And you're like, yes. Yeah.
Did you think it was, and I'm not saying that I think this way, but I'm curious because it was an interesting moment. It's always weird when you go into and you have a character like even come in just like that. Did you think it was forced?
No, I think it was nice. Do you think it was forced?
Not really. It was a little sudden.
Yeah, it was very sudden.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I wanted, yeah, I think it was, again, it was a great way to book when you, it, I'm very curious at what point, because they had already done, the season had already been written, and I believe they had finished principal photography when they got word that it was canceled. I'm not 100% sure about that timeline, but I'm curious if they went back in to this episode when they knew they were getting canceled, because they were still in process, at least.
I want to say yes, just because of the way that it ended, it felt so much like an ending.
Yeah,
that I feel like they would probably want to set up something else if they hadn't. Like, I just kind of have that feeling. I mean, I could be wrong. Who knows? But it just seems like it. And I enjoy the way they ended it. Basically, she's like, "No, I'm leaving," and then, "Nope, just kidding, I'm staying," just because of the Kilgrave voice. And I liked that. That was open ended, but done.
I know you didn't season two, but season two did have a similar feeling to its ending. Where if that had been the last season, you could see how that worked as an ending. It completed a character arc that they had enough to continue without making it feel too awkward, except that they, again, just had, they had a romance that was blossoming, and then it just was gone.
It's just nothing.
Which, like, worked for Jessica. It would just sort of put her, she had grown a little bit, and then she went back, which is normal. That's human behavior.
Yeah.
But I liked having it, especially because this is going to be the end, whether they knew it or not when they wrote it, having Kilgrave just like pop into her head, because mm-hmm. that voice I'm sure lives with her on a day-to-day basis.
Oh yeah.
That's trauma. That's how it works.
Like, years of it. And we all know that Jessica does not deal with trauma. She just drinks it away. So it's gonna pop back up at some point or another. So yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But hearing his voice at a major decision point where she's gonna like run away to Mexico or wherever she's going.
She was going to Mexico.
Yeah, she was just like, get me as close as you can to the border. And then I guess she was just going to run across it. Although in my mind, I was like, oh, she's going to the southern border. Is she going to meet up with Ghost Rider? And I start throwing things.
That's when Jack gets too excited.
I'm glad she stayed in New York. Going back to Alias, even though she's like, maybe turned it over to Malcolm. Oh, what did you think of that decision?
Of what, Malcolm?
Of her basically giving Alias Malcolm.
Honestly, I kind of like that. Just because of how he's grown as a character, he's clearly really good at it. He's clearly really good at what he does. And he kind of, I guess, sort of atoning for his sins of working for Hogarth, went back to Jessica. And I think that he could make a really nice living. I really love, I've said this on the after show, I think, I really love Jessica's assistant. She was a really great character. And I could actually absolutely see her working with Malcolm and that being awesome. So yeah. I think it's a really good decision, because it's exactly where he needs to be, and he could be helping people. And then he also has Brianna living with him now. She can help out.
Oh yeah. that
was an odd choice, but you know, whatever, I'm not judging.
All right, I mean, that's my thoughts on John Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it was a great ending. And now we have, like, the beginnings of other shows. We're ending some shows and beginning other shows. But before we get to Legion, I want to talk a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This episode was called Told Ya, and I really enjoyed the way that they used that. I was waiting for it to come up in the episode, and it did. What were your thoughts overall, just of the episode in general?
This was a solid episode. This was fun. It had, like, good mystery stuff. I could have. We didn't. I didn't feel. I guess we needed to meet this mystery woman from space to get her to Earth. But I was also like, we delayed Earth again for an episode.
I know.
Just to like get there by the end. But who is this lady?
I have no idea. She just came and she. It's odd because she is doing it for a reason, but she seems kind. Like, she doesn't seem like a bad person. You never know.
I don't buy that for a second.
You don't? You're like, no way. What was her name? Azel, right?
Maybe.
I wrote that down.
Did she ever say her name out loud?
I don't know. I wrote down Azel. Now I don't know if that's because I heard it or if I'm making things up.
And then there's her, and we got Anthony Michael Hall.
We got Anthony, yeah, that's also true. I mean, I'm not, like, mad about it.
Yeah, it's a small role.
Yeah, it's cool.
But I'm intrigued by her character.
Yes.
And her wig.
I'm very, her wig, yeah, it's clearly a wig. I'm very curious to see if she ends up being an antagonist or protagonist, like where she's going to be on that. To me, she seems, I'm kind of like, she's not so bad just yet. I hope that's true for Fitz and Simmons' sake. For the love of God, they deserve some good luck, at least a little bit. Jeez.
I feel like she has to connect to the Sarge storyline. That has to be where we're going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine maybe she's actually the bad to his good. Are we saying that Sarge is good? Because it seems like he's somewhat well intentioned. Maybe his methods aren't the best. I can't decide.
He's like a grizzled old war veteran. Right? It sounds like he's like dealt with fighting for so long that he has the mission, and the mission is the only thing to him.
Yeah. And I think that it's more just, like, people dying and his methods are just kind of, oh, this is the casualties of war. This is what we have to do to save a planet. Like, hello, I'm trying to save you all. Whereas S.H.I.E.L.D. is more, why are we killing anyone? Let's try to save everyone. I still love Butterfly Girl. She's an odd one. She's an odd duck.
It's interesting. And, like, also, they can, whoever these people are, they can breathe fire?
Yeah.
Or they can eat something that makes you breathe fire.
Is that just him or is that all of them, I wonder?
So she said that there was something, she was like, I know it burns, Jocko, but you're going to be okay.
Right.
Like, so I think she must have given him something that made him breathe fire.
And Sarge was really counting on that. I'm a tiny bit frustrated that they're not working together more. I understand why S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing what they're doing. But I feel like it's going to get catastrophic at one point where Sarge says Sarge is the anti-hero. You could say that. I think more he's trying to do what he thinks is right. But he's legitimately trying to save a planet.
He's not, I wouldn't qualify him as an anti-hero. No. I would say he's an antagonist, not necessarily a villain.
No, I wouldn't think so.
But I wouldn't call him an anti-hero either. I'm interested to see where they're going. So he has DNA match
with
to Coulson.
Which is so weird. And this is also in previous episodes, when he sees May and like when that comes up, like it triggers something in him. There's something there, but he doesn't know what it is. It's very strange.
I mean, clearly there is something, there is a connection here. We just don't know what it is. Because he uses key phrases that like Coulson uses. He has the DNA, so like there's the obvious one.
Yeah.
So he doesn't remember being Coulson, but have we checked on Coulson's remains?
That's a good question. I mean,
did they cremate Coulson?
I don't know. They haven't addressed it in this season at all, so I don't know where his body is. I don't know.
I feel like that had to be step one.
You would think.
Right?
You would think.
Chat, tell us if we missed something that they like have addressed what happened to Coulson's body, because that feels like an obvious place to start.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like they should. I mean, what if they're just keeping him in a freezer somewhere, thinking they could bring him back to life, and they haven't checked his body in a while?
No, because Coulson doesn't even want that.
That's yeah.
He was very clear that he doesn't want that, but I could see it if it's like, what if it's one of those. What are they called? The psych, the bat
shrike,
the shrike, shrike. It's like something like a shrike that's like, but it's the anti shrike because the shrike goes into beings and takes them over.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like a logical place to start.
That's definitely is not that there's a bad something theory.
Living in Coulson that's sort of like Jaegering him, or like Jaegering the body of Coulson.
Yeah.
So and like, look, the brain is an organ, and memories are just pieces of tissue and neurons firing. So if a being could Jaeger the body, theoretically it would have access, whether on purpose or not, to his memories, and that could explain why certain phrases come through or just like leak through by accident. And maybe this thing doesn't know what it's doing. Maybe it just took over a dead body that it found.
That's true. And he did say he was 100 years old, but he didn't say he was 100 years in that body.
And it doesn't, but it doesn't remember. It doesn't know it well enough.
Heywood Wong says no body was disposed of. Jenna James has a very interesting theory here, and I kind of like this one also. I still think the Sarge is an alternate Coulson who may share certain behavioral traits, but he's still not a hero. It's one thing to destroy a planet to stop a contagion, but Sarge seems to operate with indifference and without compassion toward the innocent people he may have to eliminate. Problem is the 100-year statement. I mean, he could be an alternate Coulson. That's not a bet that, like, shares...
Like a multiverse? Like,
yeah.
Like, we're still dropping multiverse theory around.
We're still dropping
here,
the multiverse theory. You never know.
Could be a different universe, Coulson, but that doesn't quite add up because that person would still remember being Coulson.
That's true.
So, I'm super intrigued.
I know.
I hope that they don't draw that mystery out for the rest of the season, because we're at a point... We're now, what, six episodes in? Seven?
Six.
We're six episodes in, and so we're halfway through, and we've been building this mystery since episode one. This is at the point where if they don't reveal it within the next two episodes, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, you're right. You're to a point where it's too anticlimactic, don't want it to be anticlimactic, and that's going to be, yeah.
You've built it up too long, and it's either the most epic, at this point, it's either going to be revealed soon, or it's going to be disappointing, because mm-hmm. you can only build up a mystery so long before, no matter what answer you give, it's going to be, as you were saying, anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
So... they better have either the best twist ever that doesn't feel like cheap or out of left field, or just tell us like next week.
Oh, also, Ivan said and Ghost both said it's episode seven. I was looking at my episode six notes.
It all blurs together, you guys. You know how much Marvel TV I watched this week?
I know.
And over the past month?
And Marvel movies also, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Endgame again today. I watched Spider-Man. I watched the rest of Jessica Jones. I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. two episodes and Legion.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, I binged all of Legion just so I could be caught up in time. I lost a bit of my sanity.
That show will do that to you.
Yeah.
It will. Oh, God. Speaking of Legion. So, yeah, I like this episode a lot. I think that we're building to a really good place. I like all the character. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say development because you guys have been watching it for years, but I like what I'm getting from it. So it's cool for me. But on to Legion.
Oh, wait. Before we go off S.H.I.E.L.D.
Go ahead.
Love Deke so much. I'm so happy he's back.
Yeah, I like Deke too. I like his character a lot, and it's been interesting watching him.
He's so awkward.
It's hilarious watching him talk to Quake and like try to brag, but it's awful. It's
he's trying
funny
so hard to make a move, and he has no idea how to flirt. He is the child, and it's because here's the thing, like when he's showing off the when he's trying to show off the shoes, like yes, he's being an arrogant prick, but he's so oblivious that it's charming.
No, it is. You're like, you should be a jerk and I should not like you, but I do, and I don't know why.
Because he's
so cute.
He is a little boy with a crush. Yes, he's being kind of childish with all this stuff, but he is genuine about it.
Yes.
It's a genuine quality, even at his most just slimy things.
Yeah, I honestly think that he just, because he's so smart, that he just doesn't, like, he spent so much time inventing and researching, like, doing whatever he does, that he doesn't have those basic human skills that... comes with, you know, trying to hit on a woman or, like, be with someone or, you know, properly emote things. Yeah.
All right, should we do Legion? Because we still have to talk about Endgame.
Yes,
stuff
we still have
too.
To talk about Endgame. So this episode of Legion, which, you know, it's a great episode to kind of quickly get through because nothing's really happened yet. I like what's happened so far, but it's the very beginning of the season. I love the way it started. What did you think of the entire episode?
How we met time travel lady?
Switch.
I
call her Switch.
Yeah. I don't remember what her other name was.
I caught it. I rewound like 3 times and I could not catch it. I wanted to say it was Jenny, but I don't think it. I think it was a Japanese name.
Well, she's Switch now.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was good. I thought it was ethereal. Noah Hawley talking about being Marvel's R&D department. Like this is if you heard him talking. There's a lot of stuff about him talking about his potential Doctor Doom movie.
Which I know you're excited about.
I fanboyed out so hard on Marvel movie news, but. He was talking about doing musicals and stuff like that, and people are like, "What?" And it's like, "Oh no, you got to watch the Legion premiere because there's a musical sequence that totally works in the show." I thought it was good. I thought it was trippy, but it made sense. I loved the depiction of time travel that they went with for her.
So cool.
I've never seen
so it's, different.
I've never seen time travel depicted that way before, and it was fascinating.
I love the time demon. I hope we get to see more of that.
Oh yeah,
so intriguing.
You don't set that up without paying it off later.
Ooh, that creepy little laugh and the eyes you just see in the background. Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
Oh, it's Chekhov's demon. It's coming back.
yeah, I agree. It was really good. And again, I hate musicals. Love that musical number. Totally cool. Fit.
I mean, this is the difference with. I often have a problem with filmed musicals. I love stage musicals. I will go see I'm a little picky.
A lot of them.
But I love going to the Broadway shows and all that. That's super fun. I have more of a problem with filmed musicals because the level of disbelief that you're like the suspension of disbelief for a stage versus a movie is a lot different. Same goes for television.
I can see that.
It's harder to justify breaking out into song at random. But this wasn't breaking out into song at random. This was. David has just like gone nuts he is nuts, but he's just gone ham with making his little world in that building super trippy.
Yes, and I kind of like the direction that David has taken, his sort of wanting to help people, but also in exchange they keep him company. Like he wants to be loved and he wants to be accepted because he's been cast out by literally everyone that was close to him.
That was a super telling, it was subtle, but it was super telling and so sad.
Yes.
Like you come, I can help heal you, make you better, whatever you need. I just ask that you, he's basically just like, all I ask is that you be my friend.
I know. He just like wants, but I love Letty. Is this a cult? Yes. Because it was very cult-like. And I love Lenny. She's such a great character. And I love so much about this episode is a lot of people will be like, they'll say like it's too weird for them. And look, I get it. Everybody has different tastes. It still all makes perfect sense, though. You get there in the end. Like, there's a lot of weirdness, but the episode still made perfect sense to me. I loved getting from point A to point B. There was a little weirdness, murkiness for a second where you're like, okay, what the heck is going on? But once you get through that, you're like, oh. And you see the entire point of it. And that's what I love about Legion. All of the weirdness makes sense. And I like that. I really love this time traveling girl. I love Switch. And I love that David was looking. I want to see how they explain this or if they get to this, that David was looking for a time traveler before he knew any of this was going to happen as like a safeguard.
I mean, she's a time traveler, so it has to be a thing where they're going to go back and put that into place, right?
I would imagine. I would hope so.
That just makes, it makes, I mean, that's the time travel, that's how you close that loop is you have to go back. But that's for far now. To have to go back. You'll have to go far down that hallway.
Where that demon didn't look that far.
So I think that's what it's going to come down to. Eventually, they're going to have to go way down. Somebody's going to have to go way down that hallway. Maybe just to bring a speedster in there or something like that. Like a combination of powers. And maybe this is a thing where if my crazy theory about all of them, like all so many characters being different parts of David... Like David's split personality, more similar to how he is in the comics, then he would just have to like switch to nice. a different personality as he goes into the time thing and then zip down the hall past the demon. But somebody's that demon's going to eat somebody.
That demon's going to eat someone. Someone's going to follow switch into that time traveling hall, and things are going to get crazy.
And it was good. I thought it was a great power check that Farouk can follow her into that space.
I thought her escaping was also amazing. Oh my god!
Oh, the way that they designed it. Yeah,
I love that.
The visuals are so good.
Oh my god! And I love that he goes. Stardrew, do you watch the Flash show? Yes, I do. I love the Flash. Off topic. I love the way that she basically. Yeah, there's some speakers. Thank you. How she just takes the tray and puts it over herself. She was so quick and just so resourceful. It bothers me that. I have a hard time with the way everybody just turned on David. I think it was...
Oh, how fast... That's why I think they're under Farouk's control. I do, too. Of some kind.
Like, okay, I do, too.
Or they got turned... I guess somebody... Even if they're not completely under his control, it's like memory modification.
Yes.
Like, he changed something about, like, how they perceive him. Because it was too sudden. It was too jarring that she was willing to murder him. And not like an accident. Like, she did it multiple times.
Oh, yeah. In the chest. She wasn't aiming for something else. She was aiming. She was shooting to kill. And it's just it's just really sad. I'm like, I feel really bad for David. I do.
He just wants somebody to love him.
I know. And he had that.
We can all relate.
That's why it's so much worse for him. Because he had that with her for, like, the first time, I think, in his entire life. And he finally got free of that monster. And then, nope, everybody turns on him. Probably because of that monster.
All right. Should we... I'm excited for next episode.
I am too.
Should we talk about Endgame?
We should talk about Endgame.
All right.
We've got time.
Because we're not going to have time. There won't be an episode of Marvel Movie News until, and there's a reminder for you guys who
next
are
Sunday.
Waiting for the Spider-Man review, because of the July 4th holiday and the studio being closed, we have rescheduled Marvel Movie News, and we're going to do a big Spider-Man Far From Home review on Sunday, July 7th at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep. And
2 p.m. with me, Zia, Christian Blatt, and... returning Koi Jandro.
Very nice. Who I've not met yet, so I'm excited about this. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah.
We get to talk about all about Spider-Man. I can't wait to talk about spoilers, you guys.
But because holy we're crap. Not going to do that for another week because
another
of
week.
The holiday, we need to talk about that Endgame extra 6 minutes.
We do. And before we move on, just quickly, because we're going to do Marvel Movie News at 2 p.m., directly after that, Chris and I are going to do Marvel TV Weekly at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Just because I live pretty far, so driving back and forth a bunch, it was really just to help me out.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah. For me, was it worth it for you?
I wanted to see the movie again anyway, so
yes.
That was fine, because I only got to see it the one time. So for me, I was just really excited to watch the movie. But if I had already seen the movie like 3 or 4 times, like I know you did, I know Christian saw it 3 times, it would not have been worth it, no.
I wanted to see... I'd seen it 3 times before. I still wanted to see it again, but that's just me. So this is time number 4 for me. But I agree. If you want to see it again... So this is my recommendation if you're still debating whether you want to go see it again. If you want to see Endgame again, go see it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Not? If you're there already, stay to the end. Watch what's there. It's cool. It's cool stuff. It'll all be on the DVD and the Blu-ray when it comes out in a month. You can see it all then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth the price of admission.
It was disappointing.
I thought the scene was cool.
It was fine.
I think we'll describe it for like you guys in case you're curious, because it was a Hulk scene that would have basically slotted in where when Scott Lang is like a bigger brain than his talking about, and then in the movie they just cut to them all eating breakfast with Big Green.
That was a fun
instead
scene.
It would have cut to a scene in Atlanta, which has. I will say, an amazing Die Hard reference that was just out of freaking nowhere. That one I'll leave alone. There's a Die Hard reference. If you saw it, you got it. Perfect casting.
It's been too... Oh! Yes! Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
We can just say it. I forget the actor's name. But the guy on the ground... Christian's going to be yelling at us in the chat.
Yeah, Christian, yell at us in the chat. Carl Winslow. Thank you, Jenna
Were
James.
Were they that fast?
Jenna James.
On us?
Jenna
yeah,
James.
Carl Winslow
it.
As the guy, as the like, was he a cop or firefighter
he
in
was,
this?
I think a cop. He was like the police chief. I think
it might have been a firefighter. Either
or was
way,
a firefighter
as
chief?
A
anyway.
As a municipal like civil servant who was like calling up for help, and then, like, basically there's a fire, and Hulk brings a satellite full of kids down and drops them off. But it's Intelligent Hulk, which would have been the first reveal of Intelligent Hulk, of Professor Hulk, whatever you want to call him.
I do prefer what we got instead. I do. That would have been cool, and I would have liked it. It was also, just to say, I mean, just to throw that out there, it's really interesting to see before they finished the scenes.
Yeah.
That was interesting, because it was before they finished Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's all CGI. It is, like, early CGI. Like, they cut this film, this scene early on.
Right. And so, obviously, why would they finish it before they, I mean, if they're going to cut it. But it was just, that was also just interesting just to see.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It's a cool scene. Yeah, it wasn't necessary. If you're looking for things to remove, this one makes sense to cut. It still would have fit in that place, because you cut to, you're like, a bigger brain, and then you hear the Hulk, like, yelling and stuff, because that you just hear the Hulk's noises, and then you see him say, and then he picks up his phone, which that's a fun reveal too, but the way they did it was perfect, and the actual movie was also perfect.
Well, cut to him eating breakfast, and then the kids, obviously it shows that he is a well-known hero, so they establish the same thing, and in my opinion, in a funnier way.
Yeah.
I like the moment between Scott and the little girl, or the three kids, so it was really funny.
He's saying no. So the Stanley tribute was really nice. Well edited. It was fun. It was interesting. It was fine. You'll see it on the DVD
at
the end of July or middle of August, I think, is when the hard copy, and I think it's the end of July for the digital, which is a huge conundrum for me, because you're saying physical copy man, has to wait 2 more weeks. You're a monster.
Are you going
to
do it?
Monster. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I genuinely don't know what I'm going to do.
I have a feeling you're going to end up with 2, because you're going to buy the digital one because you can't wait, and then the hard copy is going to come out, and you're going to be like, now I need it.
You might not be wrong.
Yeah.
And the other thing you got in there was Spider-Man.
Spider-Man!
A scene from Spider-Man Far From Home.
Spider-Man! I felt really cool, because I was like, I saw this.
And I was really excited for a moment, because I didn't know what it was. And then it was just an early scene from Far From Home. And it's like, I'm going to see that in like 4 days.
Yeah.
If you went now, it's out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it's not... I was hoping that they were going to give us like a tease of Black Widow or something. Even a mystery of just, like, red hair and a motorcycle or something like that.
I know, anything. It's funny because they show you Spider-Man, like, literally right before it comes out, like, it's this big treat, and you're like...
That was the thing. It was ultimately overblown.
Yeah.
As far as their, like, big re-release, and, like, the intro with Joe Russo,
I believe.
Was like, here's the movie, stick around after the credits... Enjoy. That was it. It wasn't like there was no reflecting on what he had done or how much, like, about the success. It was just like, we enjoyed making this. Thank you for watching it. Stick around. I would have liked him to talk about the movie for even like a minute.
Yeah.
To make it. It just, I wanted more for the cost of admission. But so bottom line, go see it if you want to see it. The movie again. Don't feel the need to if you're just waiting to see the stuff at the
credits. Yeah, if it's just for the extra credits, you can skip it and just buy the DVD. Since we do have a couple of minutes, did you get a chance to think of your top 3 Netflix seasons?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about it. I got that locked and loaded.
Okay, you just go first, like, spit out your 3. Ours might be the same, I don't know.
So I would...
Oh, I like that.
Did we win something?
I don't know, but I feel like I won a prize.
Okay. So should we start at 3 or start at 1?
Start at 3.
Okay. So for me, number 3 would be Daredevil season 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you just go down to 2.
Oh, okay. So it would be Daredevil season 1 is great. It's what started all of this up. Number 2 would be Daredevil season 3.
We have 2 of the same.
Which is also, like, just, like, it's great. It does so many amazing things with that character. I will say, I kind of wanted to slide Defenders in there somewhere, but I couldn't fit it between those two. It was, like, edging out, like, but it was, like, no, it's 4. but I want to mention Defenders. Number one.
Honorable mention.
Is Jessica Jones season one.
Okay. Very nice. So we do have two of the same ones and one different one, but my order is different. Number three is Daredevil season three. Number two is Punisher season one. And number one is Daredevil season one. That is my favorite still of all of
Daredevil
them.
Daredevil season one is amazing.
So good.
For me, Jessica Jones season one is just fantastic storytelling, and it's what I love about Marvel everything, mm-hmm. like packed into one season, because it does have superpowers, it has interesting takes on society and how superpowers might impact society, and it's not quite a superhero thing. And that's the thing. As much as we love Marvel and we love the superhero aspect, for me, it's the stuff that goes beyond being a superhero, beyond that stuff. That's why I like. Yeah, the superheroes bring in, but the regular people who have powers and do other stuff with them is what keeps me there.
Keeps me reading
Marvel constantly.
That's awesome.
And that's what Jessica Jones season one is to me. It is both sides of that spectrum. People got powers, and what do they do with them? Some people did good things, maybe not the super heroic things, because normal people don't do that.
Right.
Normal people aren't all Captain America. And there's people who would use them for extreme evil. And it's really fascinating to see that dynamic.
I like that. That's a good point.
What was it about Daredevil season one that stood out to you?
To me, it was just the first thing that we ever got that was like that. And I love just basically it was everything that I wanted in a Marvel. It erased all of that awful movie that we got with Ben Affleck. Good God. they just fixed it all. I love the choreography was huge for me. The dark, gritty feel. There was so much character development. I mean, you really, really, really got to know who Matt Murdock was.
Yeah.
And you got Foggy. I love Foggy.
Oh, they're all great. And that's why it had to be on this. Christian also sent his list in the chat, which his is the exact same list as mine. He just swapped one and two. So for him, it was number three, Daredevil season one. Number two, Jessica Jones season one. Number three, number one, Daredevil season three. It's really confusing because there's a lot of numbers being
thrown
around.
A lot of numbers. There's all kinds of episodes and all kinds of seasons.
Yeah.
And then we also have in the booth, let's go ahead and give Ryan's Daredevil season three, Jessica Jones season one, first eight episodes of Luke Cage.
Oh, that's cheating there.
First eight episodes.
But I understand what your point is.
I do too.
Basically, Luke Cage season one is amazing, except for Diamondback.
Except, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I loved Luke Cage a lot. I felt it was a little bit long.
The stuff with Luke is great. It's just the stuff with Diamondback is shoehorned in.
Yeah. That is all the time we have today. Sorry we didn't get too much time to get to the chat. We had so much TV to talk about this week, so much. But leave your comments in the archive version below. Let us know what seasons you liked of pretty much all of Marvel Netflix seasons, and hopefully we get something like that, something just as good on Hulu, maybe, possibly, hopefully. Anyway, thank you all so much for joining us. Until I guess next Sunday, where can people keep up with you, Zach?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. And the other plug I want to give that I forgot to give while we're talking about Endgame.
Yes.
So this is the cool thing: if you went to see Endgame over the weekend, you got there early, you got this amazing poster of the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet with it says, "We love you 3000, and we love you guys 3000, you listening at home." And part of that, if you tune in to Marvel Movie News next Sunday at 2 p.m. for our Spider-Man review, we'll tell you how you can win this poster in my hand. I'm going to be giving it away. We'll give all the details that we still have to work out on next Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, as we review Spider-Man on Marvel Movie News over on Popcorn Talk.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you.
And that's exciting. That's a really cool poster. And I am Zia Anderson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Zia_Land. That's @XIA_Land. And next Sunday at actually 3 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. So at 6 p.m. What is that? Not Pacific time. What's the other one? Eastern time?
What? Yeah.
Eastern?
Well, that's the other coast. There's a lot of time zones.
I don't know, you guys. I'm from Hawaii. We got one there. I don't know how to count. Anyway, so we're going to be doing it at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Is that what it is?
I don't know if it's Pacific Standard or Pacific Daylight, but it's Pacific Time.
Whatever. Anyway, we're going to be doing it at 3 next Sunday instead of 9. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a great
Our
Fourth
founder,
of July.
Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank
Bye,
you for
guys.
Tuning
Have
in to AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
Remember, we're not just the first. We're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.